Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On with Pastor Kevin Radlin and friends. Turn the Light On is a topical study of the Bible and how these topics apply to everyday life for each one of us. Join us today as we look at the Bible, life as a believer in Christ, and how to be relevant as the church reaching out to a modern world with the message of Jesus Christ. Now here's our host, Pastor Kevin Radlin from Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida.
Hey everyone, Pastor Kevin Radlin here. Just wanted to take a moment and let you know that every Friday we're going to give you a piece of the sermon from our Sunday service so that you can enjoy and see what we're doing here at Lighthouse Christian Church every week. So I hope you enjoy this and that it ministers to you today. Be blessed in the name of Jesus.
You know, Tammy said it's Passion Week, so I felt like I wanted to talk a little bit about passion today and finding your passion, okay? Think about that, because what is passion? You know, when you think about it, everybody immediately goes to the lovey-dovey stuff. You know, oh, passion, yeah. Mm. You know, she's so good-looking. Oh, he's so fine. Yeah, you know, Bob and Sandy are over there. Yeah, we'll show you. We'll get you into the class. We'll teach you how to be passionate for each other. But you know what? Passion is what motivates us to do the things we love. Okay? So, you know, how many guys love to do things? Right? So we have passion in life for certain things that we're really excited about, you know, and passion is defined as this. It's that strong desire that allows you to create something extraordinary. I love that. It's what allows you to create something in this world out of your life that is extraordinary. Your passion brings you to a place where you become effective to this world in one way or another. It's the fuel that keeps the fire burning. You know, some of you guys are like back to the, you know, girl-guy thing. Being passionate about something gives you what? A sense of purpose. You see, a lot of people are wandering around in the world and they don't have any purpose. They're like, what is my purpose? I don't know what my life's really all about. So I would say to you that you lack passion, that you need to discover and find who you are in Christ, right? And find your passion for the Lord. Okay, and that's what I want to talk to you a little bit about today, because everybody's looking for something to be passionate about in the world. Say, I'm looking for something. Dude, stand up for a second. What do you got on there? You got your jersey on? Let me see it. This guy's passionate about something, right? What is this? Turn around. Let everybody see it, man. Who are you passionate about? Turn around. New York? Here, show it. Let's see this next slide real quick. You know, that's for you, bro. Hey, that slide is for you, man, because I know you got passion, right? So, you know, some people are passionate about sports. They love their team. They love everything. Guess what? There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with having passion for fun and things like that. But then some of you are really, really intense. You got passion at the gym. You know? See, this is these two people are passionate about something that I am not passionate about. You know? As you can see. Okay? You know? I see that in my imagination when I look in the mirror, but my passion has not been enough to get me to the gym to look like that. My passion is at Sonny's. We all know it. I say it all the time. My passion is you know, to buffet my body with the buffet. Oh yeah, buffet. That's right. I thought it was a buffet, but. Then others of you are just passionate about your careers. You want to be successful. And there's nothing wrong with these passions. I don't want people to think I'm coming against those passions in life, because it's important that we're passionate about things. And being successful is always, it's better to be successful. Can we all agree on that one? You know, I like money. I like having it and I like spending it. So if I'm successful, then I have more that I can like and spend. But the goal isn't that we are passionate just about that, okay? Because there's thousands of passions in the world, thousands of purposes and things that we could attach ourselves to and get involved in and be passionate about. You want to hear a few of mine? See, when I was growing up, I was passionate about surfing. I'm still passionate about surfing. It's not my number one passion, but you know, I like to go to the beach. I like to paddle out in 4 to 5 foot surf. Now it used to be 15 foot surf, but now I've missed the whole gym passion. So now I can only be passionate about 4 to 5 foot surf instead of the 8 to 10 stuff. Cause it's nothing worse than getting denied, man. When you're trying to paddle out in Florida, it's 10 foot and you're like, I couldn't make it. And everybody else on the beach, you know, we call it the walk of shame. You know, with your board, you know, they watched you paddle out from the boardwalk and it's 5 minutes later and you're walking back in. You couldn't get out. So, but I used to be passionate about surfing. I still am. And I used to be passionate about heavy metal music. That's why we have the God's Rock service, because of Acts 26. God said, I've delivered you from them and I'm sending you back to them with the message of deliverance so they can understand that they have an inheritance in Christ, just like all of us do. But I used to be really passionate about throwing parties too, because I like people, I like popularity, and I was just passionate about all of those things. But, you know, I lived that lifestyle, and in that lifestyle of passion that I had, it was void of one thing: God. So what I want to talk to you today about is you know, I kept myself busy with other passions, while the real passion that I needed to have in my life, which was a passion for the Lord, was being kept from me by this crazy word, okay? You see, we need passion, but passion for the wrong things in our life can become what? A distraction. Idols, same thing. So what are distractions when we look at them according to the Bible? I want to kind of take a look at that today, because we've got to have passion, you know, in all that we do. So a simple definition of a distraction, listen to this. This is powerful, okay? It's something that turns your attention away from something that you want to concentrate on. And this is exactly what Satan wants for you. Satan's goal is distracting people. His mission is to keep you from experiencing the passion that you can experience having a relationship with God. So you can have a relationship with the Holy God, but if you're so distracted, you don't take the time to have that relationship, Satan is winning. That's what I wanted to look at today. Because he doesn't care what he has to use to keep you from a relationship with God. He'll use any of the distractions that are out there in the world. He'll take any of them to keep you from knowing and experiencing and having a relationship with God. He just wants you to take your attention even away from the idea of God altogether. So don't let the noise of the world keep you from hearing the voice of the Lord. That's the overall grit of this message today. Don't let the noise of this world, the distractions of this world, keep you from hearing the voice of the Lord in your life. Okay, so, you know, if the enemy can't destroy you, he will distract you. You hear me, right? If he can't destroy you, if he can't wind you up in addiction, if he can't get you all tore up and totally destroy your life, he will distract you to keep you from experiencing the true blessings that God has for you. Amen? He wants to keep you from having time with God. You know why? Because time with God will change your life. So, you know, we're distracted because the enemy is trying to keep us from making Jesus the passion of our life. He's trying to keep us from making everything that we do and know and experience in our lives about Jesus. You know, they say, you ever heard the term Jesus freak, right? Yes. That's called passion for the Lord. What will people think when they hear that I'm a Jesus freak, right? What will they think? We're going to talk about that. So 2 Corinthians, let's look at this. Let's look at this from Scripture. It says in 2 Corinthians 4, 3 through 5, it says this. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. You see, right there in Scripture, you have proof that the enemy's goal is to blind you, to distract you, to try to keep you from knowing and experiencing all that God has for you in your life. And what is the goal? That the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ would shine on you. See, we've got to get to a place where we are no longer distracted, but we are laser focused on becoming who God has called us to be in our lives. And we are walking out our lives with purpose and with a plan. You see, God has a plan for us. Each and every one of you. And passion is the key to a life lived for Christ. So what are you saying, Pastor? You need some passion for the Lord. Say, I need some passion for the Lord. Not for all the other things. You can be passionate about other things. I'm not negating those. I'm just saying your number one passion goal should be, what is it, Lord, that you have for me to do in my life? I want to fulfill that goal. That's why I'm here. So I call it Jesus passion. You know, we need that Jesus passion. What was, you know, how do we know what Jesus passion is? We have to look at the life of Jesus, right? And we have to say, what was Jesus passionate about? Anybody want to take a stab at it? What was Jesus passionate about? Doing what his dad told him to do. I like that one, Dean. That's a good one. All right? Us, people. That's it, Koi, right there. Jesus was passionate about people. So if we want to have God passion in our life, we have to become passionate about people. But you're like, Pastor, I don't like people. They're tough. They mess with us, right? Some of you are like, some of y'all are smiling real big on that one. I'm like, wow. But see, Jesus was passionate about people. What did he want to do with people? He wanted to set them free. He wanted to show them the way to the Father. Like Dean was saying, to do what his Father wanted them to do. And he was passionate about loving them, loving the unlovable. You realize God's biggest breakdown is that he's trying to love people that don't love him back. Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's God's passion. That's Jesus' passion right there. So if you want to have God passion in your life, what do you need to do? You need to put that scripture on your refrigerator, on your wall, on your mirror. And you go, Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. So now it's my goal as a God representative to go and seek and save that which was lost also. See, Jesus loved people to death. So are you willing to give up some of your life to love people? Are you willing to love people to death of another passion maybe that you have in your life? You see, in Romans 5, 8 through 10, it says, God demonstrates his own love towards us. Listen to this. That while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if we were the enemy, if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Okay? God's passion was demonstrating his love towards us even while we were sinners. So what's his, if that's his passion, what's your passion? If you're going to have God passion in your life, you're going to have to demonstrate his love towards sinners even while they're sinners. It's like, what do you mean, Pastor? I mean, that, you know, we don't have to tell them to get right or get left. We can tell them, just come. Be a part of God's family. Let God love on you as you are. We're going to welcome people the way they are, not expect them to conform to some image that we're going to try to present for them that makes them think they have to become something other than who they are, because God's not asking anybody to become anything other than who they are, but just to give their life to Him and experience the glory of God through having Him in their life. That's good, isn't it? So, how do we make God's passion our passion? I want to share a little bit about yesterday, you know, because if we're going to make His passion our passion, we have to do the same thing Jesus did. Love the unlovable. See, that's what we did with the Easter extravaganza yesterday. We just said, hey, you know what? We're not going to try to cram Jesus down anybody's throat. We're going to open our property. We're going to feed people food. Why? Because they like it. We were feeding them pulled pork sandwiches and hot dogs with chili and slaw and, you know, cookies, candy. I mean, every kid that left yesterday had a bag full of candy. Bag full of candy. Let's look at a few pictures from it yesterday. I'm serious, because we were loving our community with our Easter extravaganza, reaching the lost, loving unbelievers. Look, we had the kombucha bar. Everybody thought we were giving out beer they did. They thought we were giving out beer at church. It was kombucha, okay? It's alcohol free, okay? But it did. It looked like beer in the cups. I won't lie. Okay, yeah. So anyway, thanks to Big Dog, though, he came out and really blessed us. That stuff's good. Have you ever had kombucha? I've had the old stuff you buy at the grocery store. That stuff's nasty, but his is good. But this event was us being passionate about our community, us being passionate about reaching to the neighborhoods and the streets on our Banana River Drive and having the heart of God, you know, and us as a family coming together and serving and painting kids' faces and making cookies and, you know, having game shows. And it was a blast. You know, the kids came out on our property. There were a lot of new faces here. Who actually helped serve yesterday? Can we give them a big round of applause? Come on, everybody. Thank you guys for all that you did. It was a great event. We had over 500 people on our property. All right, go to the last. Yeah, there, hold on. Hold that picture right there. The deputy was trying to outshoot the kids with the squirt gun. And guess what? She was letting them win. She was shooting to the left, shooting to the right. Then we're just like, no, be for real, be for real. She was like, boom, 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 man. She was a great shot, but she was very gracious to the kids. But you know what? We're reaching out to the deputies that are on our property, just being here with us as well. So that's what it's all about, having passion for the Lord and just letting our light so shine. And then kids are just loving it. I think the most popular game. Yeah, hold on. Let's stop right here for a second. Look how many people. No, go back. Go back. That was our fellowship hall. There wasn't room for anybody else in there. Okay? So I just want you guys to know that it was a huge success, huge event. Your money that you give put on that event for our community. And we loved people with God's passion. Okay? You know, Jake and Emily, you guys had the funnest game where the cop was shooting. And tell me, how many times did you reload that toilet paper? It had to be 1,000 times. You know, so I just want to give them extra props. Come on, guys. They were so faithful. And Emily's like, why are you calling me out, Pastor? And Jake's like, hey. You know, it's a guy-girl thing. But you guys did amazing. I had so much fun hanging out with all of you yesterday. It was a blast. And thank you for all that you did. But, you know, we always got to check our hearts, don't we? For our passion level. You know, if we're just doing an event like that to, let's just say we're doing it because we want to grow our church, that's not the right heart motive for something like that. You see, we've got to love our community with the love of Christ, whether they come here on Sunday or not. It's not about us being something to try to get people to do something. It's about us being someone to try to get someone to know our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So that's what God passion is all about. That's what it boils down to. And if we're going to be passionate for God, we have to have a relationship with God. You have to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So I am about to hit you with some questions to test your relationship level with the Lord. Are you ready? Say, Pastor, you always test us every week. We just want to feel good. Come on, tell us. No, here's the deal. Let's look at and evaluate your personal relationship with God just for a minute, because I think this is important. So I'm going to ask you some questions, and I want you to think about these questions. I will give you some answers, but you'll know the answer for yourself, because I think every Christian needs to ask these five provoking questions in their life. Ready? Question number one. What am I the most passionate about? Was surfing for me for a long time in my life. Everybody that knew me would have said, surfer, right? So what are you the most passionate about? Are you passionate about insignificant things? Because in the scope of eternity, surfing is somewhat insignificant. I enjoy it. It's fun, but it's insignificant. There's no eternal value in it. It's just fun. So we have to look at our passion and say, am I being passionate about something that is insignificant in the overall scope of things? And if I am, there's nothing wrong with having that passion, but I may need to reevaluate its priority in my list of passions. You hear me? So the other piece of this is, am I passionate about sinful pursuits in my life? Because I've been passionate about sinful pursuits. We've all done that at some point in our life. So whatever it is you're pursuing, you got to make sure that it is actually something that God wants in your life. Okay, and then the last piece of this one is, am I passionate for God and His plan for me? Yes. Amen? So second question, and this one got real for me yesterday. How will people remember me? How will people remember me? People who know you the best already know your passions, okay? What would your family say? What would your coworkers say? What would your neighbors say? What would your friends say? And what would they say you're the most passionate about? Helping people, church, you know, some of you, others, it would be, you know, other things. But you know what? We want people to see Jesus in us. True? Third question. Am I satisfied with my passion for God as it stands right now today? Are you passionate? Put the scale up. If we go to it from a scale of zero being ice cold to hot being I'm on fire for Jesus, you know, and lukewarm being dead in the middle at five, right? Think about this. If I asked you, how is your spiritual walk with the Lord today? A few of you would probably say, it's good. Right? It's good. It's good. It's good. It's good. Others would say, could be better. Could be better, Pastor. And like I said, I'm not coming for you with condemnation. I'm just saying we have to continually, if we're going to be passionate, we have to evaluate ourselves so we know where we're standing. But the third one would be, some would say, hey, some days better than others, or I'm doing better than they are. In my passion level, I'm better than him. I'm just being silly. I don't know. He's on fire, this guy. But here's the general answer that most people would say. It's okay. Are we okay with okay? Right. Are we okay with okay? You know, my son started a new construction company. I have his card right here. No shameless plugs for him. Okay, it's my son Jason. He's got his little picture on there. See it? It's nice and cute. Everybody see it? So I know it's small, but some of you guys, I'm like, here, you ready? There you go. Oh, wait, here, ready? All right. But the name of his construction company is OK construction. I said, what are you going to name your business? Okay, construction, Dad. I'm like, what is up with that? How about KO construction? We'll knock the job out, right? You know, that's what me as a dad, I'm going at it with him. And he's like, it's okay. You know, Dad, here's the deal. You know, if you tell them you're okay and then you do a really good job, they're happy. I'm like, millennial thinking. I mean, he's got a point. They're expecting okay, and then you give them great. You're the win. It's a win. I love it. He's like, it's just for fun, Dad. It's okay, you know, because I got more work than I could do anyway. So, but are we okay with okay? Let's say no. We're not. We want more passion. We want to be able to say we're great in our relationship with the Lord. So here's the question number four. What needs to change so that God becomes your greatest passion?
Hey, have a fence project you'd like to get done? Mike Green with Hercules Fence is available for you at 321-258-9853. Hercules Fence has been in business for 60 plus years. They've been serving Brevard since 1965. There's no job too big or too small. This is Brevard's leading fencing provider. Once again, that's Mike Green with Hercules Fence. 321-258-9853.
Paradise Air and Heat is an amazing sponsor of Turn the Light On. If you have a need for AC repair, you can reach Paul and the Paradise team at 321-459-2665. That's right, 321-459-2665. Located in Merritt Island and serving Brevard, Paradise can do everything from filter replacement to maintenance and even new systems. Thanks again, Paradise Air and Heat, for helping us turn the light on. Lighthouse Generational Ministries wants to remind you that we have so many things to do here at the church. Every Tuesday night at 6:30, we have our young adult ministry Vessel. Vessel is for ages 18 to 29 years old, and they meet in the round building on our campus and have a great time in worship and learning. Every Wednesday night at 6 p.m., we have Lifeline Youth. 7th to 12th graders gather for dinner in the Fellowship Hall, and then they hang out till 8:30 playing games, learning, and just being teens. Encourage your kids to put down that game controller and come have some real fun. Every Thursday, we have men's and ladies' Bible study here at Lighthouse. A relevant teaching of the Bible is always on hand, so come out and join us as we grow together as a church family. There's something for the entire family at Lighthouse, so plug in today. For more details, call the church office at 321-452-1012 or check online at ourlighthouse.net.
Program brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida. Our service times are Sundays at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. We are located at 1250 North Banana River Drive, across the street from Audubon Elementary School. You can reach our office at 321-452-1012 or find us online at ourlighthouse.net.
Thanks for joining us every weekday morning at 7:30 a.m. or by social media any time of the day or night. We're excited to see God moving in Brevard County and hope to meet you in one of our services or events. Until the next time, thanks for being with us as we turn the light on in our community.